Good morning. This is Pat McGuire. I'm your anti-fascist radio activist, and I want to give a holler out to Jake, who's helping us here. That was Boyd Small, I Am the Devil, and I couldn't edit that one down because it was just too entertaining to listen to. We're going to talk about a couple of different things here today. We're going to talk about conservative campus organizing, which seems appropriate after listening to the last piece. And then, conservative campus organizing. We're going to talk about the people who developed Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza. Shame on them. Probably going to, if we have some time, talk about the U.S. government versus charities. And if we really have time, car porn. That's right, car porn. I thought we should take a short break from the national coverage of Israel bombing everybody in the planet. Also, I wanted to talk about the last piece that was on. That was really actually a great piece. First of all, I wanted to thank PSU for bringing her out here. And also, we in Portland are very familiar with David Irving. I mean, he's visited us a couple of times to spread his disinformation. The first time, I remember, he was way out in Gresham, and he was very well advertised. He had a full house and a lot of protesters outside. Subsequently, I think he's been out here two other times. No publicity at all. And in secret, just for the, preaching to the choir kind of thing. Kind of like a rave, where you get the poster and you have to call that special number so you can get the address of where you're supposed to go. Bring your blinky lights and your pacifier to see David Irving. But we're going to go on now to some conservative campus organizing. That's right. Now, it's been a while since I was in college. It's been a while since I was in grad school, but I thought during the summer break it might be nice to talk about those people who are in college. And, college is where everything seems really, really important, even when it's not that important. But I think this is a pretty important topic because it shows a growth of a pretty scary little movement. Now, the Washington Times had a story on it last year, and I quote, "A few years ago, Jeff O'Halloran said he began to realize that he was different from the other boys he knew. Yesterday, he said, it was time for him to come out of the closet. In the middle of a crowded university dining area, he took to the podium and announced, 'I'm Jeff, and I'm a conservative.' Coming out as conservative day had begun at the University of Colorado." Now, to judge by the amount of media attention that campus conservatives have had, Campus Right had a pretty good year, or at least a good 2 years. Besides the coming out as conservative days, students also staged a Capture an Illegal Immigrant Day, I kid you not, published increasing numbers of campus newspapers with right-wing editorial policies, and lobbied for a student academic bill of rights on multiple campuses and in several state legislatures to bring attention to what they see as silenced conservative voices on campus. That's right. Conservative student activists have kind of developed this reputation of being fiercely committed, well-trained, and fearless. They used to have this kind of button-down image that's kind of associated with, young college students for, Republican or causes or whatever. But now they appear as energetic, largely secular, co-ed force with a message and a megaphone, most importantly. The mainstream press regularly describes college conservatives as growing in visibility and in sophistication. But the big question we need to think about is how influential are they? Now, they're very influential, if you think about the number of ties they've built with broader conservative establishment movements, such as the Federalist Society, for example, and their grooming for future leadership in these conservative movements. On the other hand, they haven't been very influential if you look at how few the recruits they've attracted to their cause. But that might change if they learn to reach the evangelical Christian students who so far have remained a little bit lukewarm to the neoconservative campus activists. Now, student organizing, as you might remember from being in college, if you were in college or are in college, is kind of limited by two basic things. You've got a highly transient population with fewer ties to campus life, and two, you've got less free time than you ever had in the past in college. Now, given those academic and financial pressures that are on today's college students, any kind of political activity probably should be considered an achievement and beyond the norm. Both progressive and conservative students complain of the difficulties of organizing on campus. But conservative students work with far fewer numbers than their progressive counterparts, but they seem to make a lot more noise. Now, although the number of entering college students who identify as right-wing or conservative is slowly growing, conservative student activists historically were a distinct minority on campus. Luckily enough, I say, they remain so. For example, in 2003, only 24% of first-year students identified themselves as conservative or very conservative, compared with 31% who identified themselves as progressive or left. Now, progressives not only have a larger pool to work with, and it's only a slightly larger pool, but they're also more successful at recruiting. Progressive political groups outnumber conservative groups on campus by a ratio of 4-1. There is, after all, a gap between holding an opinion and encouraging other people to agree with you, let alone encouraging them to show up at a meeting. Remember that? Now, while the number of conservative students who act upon their beliefs, that's the ones that we're going to call activists here, remains pretty low on campus, this may be pretty attractive in itself. Now, running the campus conservative newspaper or the lone conservative group on campus can offer some students a structure in which it's acceptable to feel different, and different in a way that larger groups, adult groups, are going to be very supportive of. But a self-defined sense of being an outcast is too individualistic to create a particular culture that attracts a large number of recruits. Therefore, their success lies not in their numbers, but in their deep relationship with the supportive organizations on the right, who consist mostly of adults and, therefore, are bringing in the cash. Now, conservative students manage to cover a range of issues, opposing abortion, same-sex marriage, supporting Bush administration's foreign policy positions, Israel, or the war in Iraq. No other consistent national campaign by conservative students is pervasive, however, as the attack on their very own schools. Now, the campus right is pretty well known for the ability to deliver a consistent message across campuses. And that message is, student conservatives are an abused minority because of their unpopular political ideas and the dominance of liberal thinking on campus. Now, crafting that message and sticking to it is a key lesson that student activists are learning from adult organizations who are supportive of them. And, as I said before, it serves as apprentice training or apprenticeship training for those who are going to be joining and succeeding in these adult organizations post-college. Now, if you look at some of the comments that conservative students make, you can see that that's reflective. I'm quoting, "I made conservative statements in class and I've been hissed," reported a Northwestern student. A student at Washington and Lee University explained, "I was sick of being ridiculed by my teachers for being a Republican." Now, they demand that colleges change to make the campus safe for conservative students and faculty, but more importantly, they want the colleges to make room for what they call diversity of thought. And that's an example, I think, of them co-opting language that's been used by the left and using it pretty effectively for their purposes. Now, they deliver this message in pretty consistent manner across campus. It depends on sarcasm, political attack, personal attack, and activities that are geared to generating publicity, such as, you know, out illegal alien day. For instance, two college seniors wrote in an op-ed in the conservative paper Mass News, "To be openly conservative at Wellesley is to contend daily with emotionally driven testaments, shrill libel, and hateful words in the name of progress or peace. What makes us better citizens and leaders is diversity of thought, not melanin levels. If we had more professors who disagreed with a tyrannical majority, more of us would hear both sides." Now, Rich Lowry, who's the editor of the National Review, explained, "If you're a conservative, usually you kind of like going against the crowd a little bit. That's sort of the appeal of it." Now, the message works so well that it's actually become a frame for conservative students' reality. Conservative student as beleaguered underdog. And that frame succeeds in two other ways. First, it identifies a speaker as a conservative voice on campus. And secondly, the publicity it draws is part of a long-range strategy on larger right-wing movement to increase public criticism about the current state of higher education. Now, higher education agenda of various conservatives and larger right is much more complicated than just angry student speech about liberals on campus and going back to the basic canons and text. At its root, it has to do with traditionalist conservatives' claims that progressive reforms of the past few decades are a fundamental threat to higher education that changed who goes to college and what the students learn once they get there. Now, conservative students claim that liberals have taken over higher education, and that claim is connected to reality by a pretty slender strand of truth. Affirmative action and curricular reforms have taken hold because of progressive organizing on campuses. For instance, women's studies programs that were launched in the 70s and in the 80s to fill gaps in the college curricula have grown to a network of like nearly 400 campus-based programs. And colleges' support for multiculturalism in a similar fashion created the potential for profound changes in how students view and study people of color. The power dynamics among these social movements change all the time, so it was only a matter of time before backlash developed on campuses. This backlash has been led by conservative strategists and ideologues who see these achievements as threats to key institutions that they felt that they once controlled. Evidence of this backlash can be seen in adult conservatives' decade-long attack on affirmative action and also repeated attempts to cut federal funding for financial aid. Now, not all adult conservative views find secure homes on student groups on campuses. But when neoconservative students win media attention for their claims that they're not safe to even express their ideas on campus, or when they organize against a particular liberal idea like affirmative action or women's studies, they make it easier for these other conservative criticisms of higher education to win attention, sort of like a rising tide floats all boats or something like that. Now, cutting federal support for financial aid, attacking multiculturalism and area studies in academic and mainstream media, a call for return to a traditional Eurocentric curriculum, and also just a general discussion on the decline of the meaning of the college degree, each of those individual things are examples of a larger off-campus neoconservative agenda to take back higher education. That's right. Take back higher education. It, co-opting language, what, take back the night? No, let's take back higher education. Now, one segment of the campus right that grows without much support without outside organizations. Now, conservative libertarian thought has a small but loyal following on campuses, and it's fueled in part by youthful resistance to social regulation. Now, once only viable at elite schools like University of Chicago, there's libertarian student groups have begun to crop up at a variety of schools, including public universities. But still, the prime example of a fast-growing movement is a conservative student movement. Now, here's an example of how the conservative student movement grooms the next generation of leaders. Ty Bales is a poster child of how off-campus organizations can help students use campuses as a training ground for a career in conservative politics. Now, while he was a student at Sydney College, Ty used techniques he learned at the Leadership Institute's Youth Leadership School to become student government president. Now, there's a well-developed network of national organizations like the Leadership Institute that support the right wing on campus. And providing this organizational support, off-campus networks, and most importantly, media and communication strategies, they help conservative students create a campus presence. But their goal is actually more leadership development outside of school than movement building in school. Now, one of the websites where these groups clearly proclaims the Leadership Institute's mission is to identify, recruit, train, and place conservatives in politics, government, and the media. Now, together, these groups train and sustain conservative student voice on campus. They teach students not only how to campaign for student government, but also how to amplify the message to get the largest audience. Along with the Leadership Institute, there's other national organizations, such as the Young Americas Foundation, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, the Center for the Study of Popular Culture, and the Fund for American Studies. All of these groups offer generous resources to campus-based activists, and, you know, they're pretty happy to get them. These groups are pretty well funded by prominent foundations on the right, including three of the largest, the Bradley, the SCAIF, and the Olin Foundation. Now, altogether, these five organizations that I just mentioned spend about $30 million a year to support conservative college student programs. $30 million. I'm not kidding. And meanwhile, there isn't any equivalent funding or, more importantly, infrastructure for progressives or on the left. Get on it, lefties. Now, the dozen or so campus supportive organizations mostly offer their training off campus. And they've got students in a critical mass who come to retreats, to conferences, to internships where they discover and they define a group identity by learning and by living together. Now, they like to develop this identity of, as I said, the conservative student on campus who's the oppressed minority. But the collective character, their participants that go to these events off campus, is one of joy and relief at having found fellow students who are ready for action. The opportunity to identify with a conservative student culture certainly exists, but students often have to travel off campus to find it. Now, one student testified, and I quote, "I faced so many obstacles. At time, I felt like abandoning my fight for a balanced campus. However, after attending the National Student Conservative Conference last August, I understood that I wasn't alone in my struggle. Back at school, I strongly voiced my commitment towards conservatism. On one of the most liberal campuses in America, I received the highest number of votes of all of the races run and easily secured my student government seat." Now, some of the national organizations offer a pretty impressive collection of incentives if you join their team. They include free or subsidized trips to conferences, academic credit coupled with opportunities for some pretty exciting fellowships and internships, chances to study conservative economic and political theory with well-respected scholars, access to conservative decision-makers in Washington, and, more importantly, the opportunity to jumpstart a career in the right. Doesn't matter if they only reach a couple of people on campus. The elite of the campus-supportive conservative organizations identify young conservatives and groom them for leadership. And I mentioned these are the people who brought us Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza earlier. Other organizations like Young America's Foundation or the Students for Academic Freedom provide basic training for future foot soldiers in a larger conservative movement. Other organizations like the Fund for American Studies runs conservative summer courses at Georgetown University. Yet another organization, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, maintains a publication list of nearly 200 conservative titles directed at college students. These organizations are committed to bringing conservative political theory to students. The Fund for American Studies has offered summer school courses on conservative political and economic theory for 35 years. Now, 35 years is a commitment to long-term strategic work and serious academic study of conservative ideology. What that means is they are not only grooming people, but they have a very good infrastructure put in place. Now, you might think the effect, the approach of these organizations like the Fund for American Studies would be diminished by outsider status and the small number of students that they ultimately reach on campus. But their influence is strengthened by other conservative institutions inside higher education, and they get to make links between endowed chairs, policy centers, graduate fellowships that are funded by the same set of conservative foundations. Now, some of these networks have been in place for decades. Like I mentioned, 35 years, the Fund for American Studies has offered summer school courses and teaching. For another example, the organizational founders of three conservative student-supporting groups are among the luminaries of the neoconservative movement. And if you saw the movie Why We Fight, you saw some of these people feature prominently as stars. Now, William Simon and Irving Kristol of the Institute for Educational Affairs started funding conservative campus papers in 79. Simon was the Secretary of Treasury under Nixon, and Kristol has been a publisher of several really important conservative journals and is a fellow at the neoconservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. Now, that merged with the Madison Center, a group that was founded by William Bennett. You all remember him as the Secretary of Education under Ronald Reagan and the guy with a bad gambling habit. And Alan Bloom is a University of Chicago intellectual who was one of those who took up the mast of the liberal drift of higher education. Now, the Collegiate Network is what this is called, this campus newspaper grants program, moved on to the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, and that granddaddy was founded 43 years ago by no one other than William F. Buckley, Jr. That's right, the father of conservative campus activism and the author of God and Man at Yale. Now, all of these organizations come together in support of campus. Publications don't necessarily share exactly the same perspective on all of the issues. You know, some of them are for strong governments, the neoconservatives that follow the Kristol. Some of them are traditional small state conservatives, such as Buckley. But they are, however, willing to share responsibilities to support campus publications as a pretty key element of their strategy. Now, when students take advantage of these resources, they can accumulate these sort of generic personal, you know, facets of leadership, the development, and political skill building. More importantly, choosing to associate with these organizations is a good career move. It's a good resume builder, people. It enhances their resumes. It allows access to the necessary networking that helps them secure a job in an official political world dominated by conservatives. They feel close to power, which is, you know, a heady attraction for careerists and non-careerists alike. Now, a list of conservative alumni of campus-supported programs reads like a who's who of current right strategists. Karl Rove, White House Chief of Staff. Rick Santorum, well-known for the other identity of his last name, which I cannot say on the air. Grover Norquist, who's the head of Americans for Tax Relief. And Ralph Reed, who's a former director of the Christian Coalition and now political candidate in Georgia. All these folks have been associated with college Republicans or with the National Committee. Now, as I mentioned, Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza, they're prominent members of conservative campus speakers bureaus. They each started with a conservative campus publication, and they were all hooked up with the collegiate network. They provide a pretty key role in larger media by amplifying the voice of the conservative campus activist beyond the relatively small size group that they're with. Now, I mentioned Ty Bales earlier when I was talking about his gaining his campus seat. Now, he now runs the grassroots program at Morton Blackwell's Leadership Institute. And his bio says, at the Leadership Institute, Ty has helped train thousands of conservative activists to become more effective. In addition to speaking for the Leadership Institute, Ty is also a sought-after speaker for organizations such as the GOPAC and the Center for Reclaiming America. That's right. Now, before I leave, one of the questions is, what do you do? It seems kind of scary. They don't have very many people on campus, but they're actually grooming themselves for the bigger picture when they get out of school. Well, natural defenders of the university system are leaders and supporters of that university. University presidents, faculty is established, trustees, fundraisers, media, anybody who covers higher education issues or is actually interested in higher education issues, they are beginning to recognize their collective power as defenders of accessible higher education. Defenders of affirmative action, defenders of multiculturalism and diversity in programs. There's groups such as the American Association of University Professors and the National Women's Studies Association. That's just two examples of groups that are already voicing their opposition to the Academic Bill of Rights, something that's been propounded by conservative college groups. Now, these attempts are sort of piecemeal, you know, catch and catch can. Now, These piecemeal sort of attempts may interrupt, but they're not going to stop conservative move to claim the campus as its own. So whether or not you're in college, you should still be interested in this because these people are coming out of college and they're moving right into right-wing movements. They're moving right into politics, into the media. So unfortunately, that's all the time that we've got today. Got to get going. Want to leave with another song by Boyd Small. Sorry we didn't get to car porn, but next month, I'm sure it's going to be an all-porn month. This is Pat McGuire, and I want to thank Jake again for helping us out.
In the same old town, trying to act happy when I'm really feeling down. And I still keep this party going. Feeling like dirt in a worn out dirty shirt. Looking like a bum, still putting on a flirt. And I still keep this party going. How many times am I gonna be here? Making too little money and drinking way too much beer. And how long can I...
And that's it for the Friday morning radio zine. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 11.
Greetings, I'm Ansel Krigland.
And I'm Winston Watson.
And I'm Donald Clark.
And we are The Meditation.
We are listening to Community Radio.
KBOO
90.7 FM. Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Dig it.